Hello and welcome to Car Talk from NPR with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from Wacko Central here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, as unbelievable as it may seem to you and me, this month Car Talk is celebrating its 30th anniversary in NPR. And this whole month, we're looking back at some themes that we've detected over the years, and today's theme is the North American Wacko. Not that there's anything wrong with them. My brother and I would gladly have had coffee with everyone you're going to hear today, as long as they were paying, of course. So let's start out with a story about a guy who we didn't get to talk to, but we really wish we had. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Creativity, Bravado, and Natural Selection here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I think that's appropriate, but to tell you the truth, I'm not sure because I haven't read this yet.
You know what people love about our show? The preparation.
The preparation. But great. I could tell just from the first paragraph that it was something that I wanted to read. I'll read you the note. I listen to your show at work. I love your show. My husband gets Flying Magazine and showed me this story. Thought you would get a boost from this. From Val Stallius from St. Flaco, Florida. St. something. I don't know. You've heard of Rickenbacker and Lindbergh and Doolittle. But have you heard of Larry Walters? Probably not. Yet Walters was made of that special stuff that separates aviation legends from the common run of folk. In 1982, Walters, this is what got me, this next paragraph. In 1982, Walters, a truck driver by trade, bought a bunch of weather balloons. Some sources say 42, some 45. He filled them with helium and tied them to a lawn chair.
Were they packed in cosmoline?
When I got to this point, I said, this has got to be good. So he ties 45 weather balloons to a lawn chair. He provided himself with a two-way radio, a parachute, some jugs of water, and a rifle, and then cut his conveyance loose from the bumper of his car, which was anchoring it to the ground. Take a moment to imagine the thrill and terror of that ascent, transforming a man surrounded by the normal appurtenances of life, garden, house, sport, utility,
terra firma,
into a speck floating in an infinite space. Had he rigged up some sort of seatbelt? Did the chair tip and wobble? Did he call out to the ant-like figures below? We don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
It is clear, however, that he violated FARs. I don't know what that means. It's all caps. Just don't forget, this is in Flying
Federal
Magazine.
Federal Aviation Regulations.
I love it. By passing through the Los Angeles TCA, we don't know what that is either, without a transponder or a clearance. Two passing jetliners reported to controllers that they had seen a man with a gun seated on a deck chair at 11,000 feet. A helicopter went up to take a look. Walters had planned to descend.
I got it by shooting out one balloon
you
at a time.
You got it, man.
Hence the gun. I couldn't figure out the gun until
couldn't
now.
Couldn't figure out the gun either. Walters had planned to descend by shooting out the balloons with his gun, one at a time. He had deflated 10 of them this way when he accidentally dropped the gun. He accidentally dropped the gun. I told you this was going to be good.
And what were the first two words he uttered when he dropped the gun?
Where was I? When he accidentally dropped the gun. Wait, I can't read now. Evidently, 10 was enough. After being carried out to sea and back on the vagrant coastal breezes, he was snagged by power lines in Long Beach and led away in handcuffs. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's reported to have said, by way of explanation of his exploit, a man can't just sit around.
I guess not.
Walters subsequently fell on hard times, became bankrupt, and died by his own hand in 1993. But his memory survives as a model of those qualities of independence, vision, and disregard for common caution, without which aviation would never have come into being.
Exactly. I mean, what if the powers that were went and arrested the Wright brothers for doing something reckless?
Exactly.
Exactly. It takes vision.
He had deflated 10 of them when he accidentally dropped the gun.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us about your car or maybe an upcoming flight in a helium
in a launch chair,
the number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Will Winfrey.
Hi, Will.
Where are you from, Will?
Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, yes. I have never had the pleasure. But well, somehow, Joplin conjures up for me a great place.
Riverboats and whatever.
No, I can see people hanging out.
You know, we go down to the corner and watch the stoplight change.
Yeah, that's it. That's the kind of that's the kind of place for me.
But
yeah.
It does have that romantic sound to it, and I love the way you say Missouri.
Yeah, well, it's actually, if you've ever been here, it's misery.
Misery. But, I mean, is that the proper pronunciation from Missourians?
Missouri?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the way Missourians say it.
I will say it that way from now on. I want to be one of the guys. I want to watch the stoplight change.
Okay.
So, what's on your mind, Will?
Well, I've got an 88 Ranger, you know, this little baby pickup.
Yeah, pickup truck.
A baby pickup truck, right.
And I've got a 180-pound dog, a Great Pyrenees.
Hmm.
When old Moses sits in the truck with me over on the passenger side, he's got his feet down on the floor and
his butt up on the seat
where it belongs and his head hanging up over the dashboard.
Oh.
Well, he had a full stomach the other day and we was on one of our fine improved bumpy roads.
Oh, I can see it now.
He blew beets, tossed his cookies, he spewed onto the dashboard.
Into the vent?
Into the vents.
The defroster vent?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I took it down to the shade tree mechanic after I squeegeed up most of the hunks.
Yeah.
And I said, what can we do? Because this smells terrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bad enough when humans do it, but dogs are disgusting.
Yeah, because you know what they lick on, you know.
Yeah, we do know. That's why it's disgusting. So, I mean, did you tell him what it was?
Yeah.
Did he refuse to work on it? I know I would have.
Yeah.
I asked him what he could do to fix it, and he said, well, I could take the whole dashboard out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think you have to go to that extreme.
Okay.
No.
Now, here's my thought is he was talking, you know, a couple hundred dollars to do that kind of work. And I was thinking, should I pay him to do the work, or should I sell the truck to somebody who has a cold?
I got to have a real bad cold.
Yeah. Should I get an air sick bag for my dog?
Gee.
No, really, what can I do about this?
Well, if obviously the stuff either went down the vent.
Uh-huh.
Or it stayed on the dashboard. Because
it went in the vent.
Right, but not all of it. I mean, some of it stayed. So suffice it to say that what didn't stay on the dashboard went down the vent.
Right.
That vent looks like, you know the thing that goes in your vacuum cleaner that you vacuum your rug with? If you look at that, that's what that's shaped like, and it comes down to a circular connector at the end to which a hose attaches that comes from the heater box.
And the entire dashboard doesn't have to be taken out. To get at this.
No, you can take out the glove box. Fortunately, he was not driving.
Right.
Because he was sitting in the passenger seat. If he had been driving, this would have been a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is take the the glove compartment out.
Okay.
That's easy to do. And you'll be probably looking right at this thing.
And it looks like a funnel.
Okay.
But you need to wear surgical mask and gloves because it's going to be gross, isn't it?
It's going to be gross, but and I don't think it's that hard because once you take out the glove box, you will see the end of this funnel-shaped thing, and it's got a hose clamp around it with the hose that goes to it, and loosen it up, have a barrel ready, and then you could actually flush it out.
Well, you can take the whole thing off. You can take the hose off. You can take off this duct. And you can probably clean the thing out pretty well.
No, actually, I don't think there's any harm in actually pouring water down there.
Hmm.
It'll just come right out the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, onto my carpet.
No, you'll have a bucket down there.
Oh, okay, put a bucket down there.
Put a bucket down there, pour some water in it, and you'll just flush that baby right out.
What I would do is line the floor, actually, with a
plastic
bag.
Yeah.
And let the stuff pour onto the plastic bag and puddle in the middle of it. Then you can pick the whole thing up and dump it, put another bag in there and do that, but... Boy, it must have been pretty bad.
Well, it's not as bad as it seemed at the time. I think it's...
I don't know. You weren't riding him with him when it happened. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, but I think you can clean it up, Will.
Okay.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
See you later, Will.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you, Tom and Ray?
Good, fine. Good.
Who's this?
Okay. I am Sharon.
You have to identify yourself.
Yes. Sharon?
Yes.
From where?
From Spokane, Washington.
Spokane. That's near Seattle, home of Melissa Peterson, isn't it?
Well, it's clear across the state.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is clear across it, but it's closer to her than...
It's closer to her than
you're within striking distance
of her, that's
so
right.
to speak. So what's up, Sharon?
Well, I have the seasonal question.
With I use a little bit of rosemary and thyme.
No.
Seasonal.
I thought you said seasoning.
No.
All right, a seasonal question. I'm sorry.
I'm wondering, with vacations coming up, I want to know why after 5 to 6 hours in the car, I always end up having a bad hair day. And I know it's got to have something to do with, you know, something mechanical to the car. But, it doesn't matter how beautifully I'm coiffed in the morning. It's just, it looks a wreck by the end of the day. It looks like I pulled it out of the trunk and glued it on my head.
Oh, it's...
mine looks like that all the time. Yeah.
So have you got any
What kind of a hairdo do you have?
I have shoulder-length hair.
Shoulder-length?
And normally it's kind of, naturally curly and has lots of body. And by the end of a car day,
it looks frizzed.
It's flat.
It's flat and not fluffy.
Flat and not fluffy.
No.
And this happens when you've spent many hours in the car?
Yeah, and it's not like I'm sleeping in the car. It's just like...
That's my brother's problem.
And do you have air conditioning in your car, and do you use it?
Yes.
And is this problem worse in the summer than it is in the winter?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, probably.
Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes. Now, do you have a brand... Actually, what I want to know is if there's... some like gadget I can buy for 3 payments of $9.95 each that's going to cure this thing. Do you know of anything like that?
Well, I'm sure Ron Popeil is working on right.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mean to laugh here, but this show started out. This show started out.
You mean today?
No.
In general,
15 years ago, this show started out with people calling us. With nuts and bolts questions.
Well,
what's the valve clearance? Should the valves be hot or cold when I adjust them? And
right, how do I torque the cylinder head when I can't get the torque wrench in there because the firewall's in the way?
And we have come now to bad hair. Hair. I mean, and you're asking her to use a cream rinse, and I'm wondering, am I just parachuted in here from some other planet? What the hell is going on?
That's a great money-making opportunity for you guys. You could invent something that's going to cure this problem. It can show up in my next credit card statement, and you could make millions.
Well, do you?
We have to figure out what the problem is.
Well, I'm getting to the... Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes, I do.
Well, you shouldn't in the summer. No, it gives your hair too much body, and it'll flatten out. You need to have that flyaway look, especially in hot, humid weather.
I would cut down
on the cream rinse.
Well, I had in mind something along the way of a solar-powered humidifier or a negative ion machine that you can plug into.
You could use an ion generator.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what the hell do you know about cream rinse? What is cream rinse?
I went into the mechanical answer to this problem.
Here's what I know. Here's the full extent of my knowledge of cream rinse. When I get in the shower, up until recently, I used to wash my hair with the same soap I use in the rest of my body. I didn't know from shampoo.
That's bad.
My wife introduced me to the wonderful world of shampoo, and she has arrayed in the shower all these other things, shampoos and other conditioners and cream rinses and all that. So I use this stuff. I don't know what the hell it is. But it makes, I know from my own personal experience that it makes my hair feel greasy.
Cream rinse,
and it flattens it out. It isn't as fluffy and fly away and as fresh looking.
Well, what is it supposed to do?
It mats it down, makes you look like a wet dog.
That's what cream rinse is for?
Makes your hair more manageable. It softens your hair, makes it easier to comb and style. I don't have that problem because I have nothing left to comb or style.
But you're suggesting that Sharon would have this problem whether she were in the car or not.
Yes, I would suggest that.
I don't think so.
Well, it's a little known fact. You're probably stressed when you're behind the wheel. That stress affects the way your hair lies. I mean, Vidal Sassoon did a big seminar on that recently that I attended. It was the next door to the seat cover convention when I was in Indianapolis last month.
Well, Sharon, I am going to figure out what this problem really is, and you're right. You know, we will come out with something in a spray can.
I'm willing to contribute like my whole $37 in life savings if you guys want to go into business with me.
We're partners. That's it.
Okay.
We are partners.
Split the profits 50-50, right?
But I would try to be more relaxed behind the wheel.
Okay.
And
avoid the cream rinse.
And I would avoid the cream rinse. At least I would hold cream rinse, and I would probably switch. Never mind.
And torque those heads to 40, 50 foot-pounds.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sharon.
give me a good slap in the face. Will you? What's happened to us? Hey, it's time for us to take a little break.
Ah, yes. This is to give our stations a little time to identify themselves.
No, this is to give their janitors time to clean the anti-car talk graffiti off the station's front door.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
I bought a new used car, and let's just say they didn't give me much on the trade, so I took out an ad in the local classified. Well, the phone wasn't ringing off the hook, but if you stop by to take a look at my fading star, $1,000 car. Mexican guy saw the for sale sign, he walked around and he kicked the tires, then he looked at me and he never said a word. I done my time on the side of the road, pockets empty and my head hung low, people passing by just point and stare.
And even though NPR stagehands dig out the old two-man hook whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from TracFone Wireless, offering unlimited talk and text smartphone plans for as low as $20 a month with no contract. And with unlimited carryover data, you can keep what you don't use. All these benefits for a phone on America's largest and most dependable networks. Get high-quality smartphones at a great price. Learn more at TracFone.com. That's TracFone.com. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and 30 years of talking to the great North American wacko. Now, in honor of our 30th anniversary at NPR, this week we're looking back at some of the strangest calls that we've ever gotten. Now, this next call is from a guy with a pretty straightforward problem. His vehicle was shaking at high speed. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Tom Ray, it's great to talk to you. This is John from Houston.
Hi, John.
John, we can barely hear you.
Okay, I'll speak up a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
I work for the government, so I can't tell you too much, but I occasionally drive this government vehicle. It's one of those Rockwell things.
Uh-huh.
And twice it's done a very funny thing, and I thought maybe you guys could help me with it.
What Rockwell thing?
What is it, like a...
You mean like a spaceship?
You know, one of those Rockwell vans.
A van?
Anyway, The twice that I've driven this thing off the line, when I first started up, it starts great, accelerates really, really well.
Yeah.
And it runs incredibly rough, though, for about 2 minutes. This is one of those puzzlers.
Yeah. Rough for 2 minutes.
After the first 2 minutes, after this really rough ride, there's kind of a jolt, and then it runs smooth, but only for about 6.5 more minutes. And then at that point, the engine dies.
The engine dies?
Yeah, it just stops completely.
Geez, you know, I hate to make any...
two different vehicles by serial number, and both have done exactly the same thing.
Well, these vehicles have serial numbers.
Well,
different vehicles.
I hate to be suspicious.
I'm suspicious also.
I hate to be suspicious, but the whole, what would I call it, the sound coming from the telephone.
Yeah.
Sounds so familiar. I mean, I expect you to say...
I'm on the cellular.
Yeah, you sound like Tom Hanks saying, Houston, we have a problem. Where are you calling from, John?
Just a second. Let me look. I'm about 200 miles north of Hawaii.
No! Really? No kidding. How did they fish you into this deal?
Oh, this is a good deal. In fact, I'm in the vehicle as we speak.
And it's probably running really quiet right now, huh?
Yeah, it's running pretty quiet, I'd say. We're still going pretty fast, but it's very quiet.
How fast are you going?
Oh, about 17,500 miles an hour.
this thing must have some brakes, huh?
This must be a Dodge Dart. Holy cow.
Oh, I can tell you this much. When we use the brakes, they glow red hot.
Oh, I bet they do.
You know, when I heard you, I was going to say that this is the furthest distance from which we have ever received a call, but that's probably not true. You're only a couple of hundred miles up, right?
That's right. Although we're talking through a teeter satellite, which is 25,000 miles away, so it has to go a long way before it gets to your fair city. And right now we're docked to a large space station, the Mir space station.
Right. We heard. We heard on the news. Now,
are you the guy going in or the guy coming out?
Well, I'm one of the folks that's delivering the guy who went up there, Jerry Leninger.
Oh, you're the cabbie.
We've got John Blaha on board now, and he's been up there for 4 months.
So you're the taxi driver.
So to speak.
Now, you've been up there for 4 days, and it's clear that you've already run out of people to call because you've called us. I mean, you called your wife, you called your mother and father.
You talked to President Clinton. And now you said, who else can we call?
Well, we're getting ready to eat dinner. I thought I'd waste a little time.
Well, boy, this is an honor to hear from you. And good luck. How long are you going to be up there?
We'll be up for about another 5-6 days and doing a lot of experiments. And actually, so far, the orbiter Atlantis that we're on has been working flawlessly. We got to orbit without any problems at all, and all the mechanical systems on board are working great, and it's a very complicated vehicle.
Well, we have to ask you, if you have another minute or so, what do you drive when you're a civilian, when you're on the ground?
Well, I have two cars. I have a Toyota 4Runner, 1987, that's also worked great, and a Pontiac Grand Prix.
Yeah, but none of them has neither one of them has the acceleration of this thing, huh?
Nope, and also not the miles. The odometer in this thing reads about 60 million miles.
Boy, oh boy, I got to say, you guys have got guts. Good luck.
Well, I got to tell you, I went to this small technical institute up the river.
Oh, that place.
When I was there in about 1977, I had a green Sunbeam Alpine. And I used to go to this garage where I'd pay a few bucks an hour and some folks would help me fix it. And I think they sound kind of familiar.
No kidding.
No kidding. This wouldn't be John Grunsfeld, would it?
Yep, that's me.
Well, the last time you were there, you didn't pay your bill. You have an outstanding bill of $5 for bay rental. So if we have a forwarding address, we'll send it to you.
Okay, you must remember my Sunbeam Alpine.
I do remember your Sunbeam Alpine.
Yeah, ran on 3 cylinders. Of course, how can we forget it?
That was on a good day.
That was on a good day.
Boy, oh boy. Well, I wish you a safe landing, John. Good luck, and I'm proud of you.
And if you're bored and you want to talk again...
Yeah, give us another call.
Feel free to call. It's an 800 number. It's free.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
See you, John.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Pretty good. Whose idea was this? He did.
Actually, he sent us an invitation to the launch of this
mission.
Oh,
he did. That's right.
He sent us an invitation, and we said...
And we said, come on, are you nuts?
Now, it shows you what chickens we are. This guy's being hurtled into space at 18,000 miles. I think escape velocity is 18,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Or close to it, or something like that.
Yeah.
We were too afraid to get into a plane.
To go down there and watch
him
take off.
Fly to Cape Canaveral and watch the takeoff.
Well,
we said, oh, no, too scary.
Well, his vehicle is probably a lot safer than the 727 you were going to go down to Florida on.
Yeah, probably. Well, that was pretty exciting.
That is, I mean, his voice did sound strange.
Well, it was just so reminiscent.
It was just like, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And he was from where? Houston.
Well, they must have those cheesy microphones, and they've been using the same ones for 30-odd years, because they all sound the same.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a...
Houston. This is John.
That was pretty exciting.
That is good. That's good. That's the most interesting call we've had in a little while.
Yeah, I've never talked to an astronaut before, even when he was on the ground.
And he was a former customer of ours.
Yes. And he still owes us $5, I'm telling you.
I think he does.
He stiffed us, and I think he stole a wrench, too. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail from South Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Gail from where?
South Philadelphia.
South of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Not South Philadelphia, but south of.
Well, no, South Philadelphia. Which one is Click and which one's Clack?
Yes. So what can we do for you?
The guy on the right is Click.
Oh, okay, I thought so. Okay, I have a little problem here in Philadelphia. I feel like I'm sort of a fugitive of sorts here. My friends Jonathan and David told me to call you and that you might be able to help. Okay, mm-hmm. I drive a teal, 1991 Saturn, which you'll need to know later, okay?
1991 Saturn.
Yes. And, okay, I take a bridge to work every day, and they charge $2 to get across this bridge. Okay, that's a little pricey, but I have to take it. So I have my $2 ready, and I' waiting in a tow line that's 15 cars long or something. And at the last minute, I realize that I'm in a coins-only lane, and there's no way to get across the traffic.
And you start shredding the dollars, right?
Exactly. I had no choice of what to do. With this short notice, I had no way of pulling this kind of cash together, so I realized that it was also a tow lane where one of those arm things comes down, so it's not like I can just go through it.
Ah, so you're going to have to run the rapids, as they say.
Exactly.
Shoot the rapids.
Exactly.
Oh, the guy in front of you, green light.
Yeah.
So I waited until the guy in front of me threw in his, 300 quarters or whatever, and when that arm thing went up, I floored it. I went through it. Buzzers went off. There was mayhem everywhere. No one followed me, though.
You made it under, though.
I was very lucky. I don't know how I did it, but I made it under.
Well, you've obviously discovered one of the best kept secrets in the world. Who was there to chase you?
Nobody.
Nobody.
No,
of course not.
My question is, do they take a picture of my license plate? Is there some way that I could, send the $2 in? Because I don't want them to send something to my house because my husband's going to be so mad.
So you have a guilty conscience about this.
I really do, but I don't want to get caught in the I'm honest and then they're going to charge me $40 for doing this.
Right. You may, in fact, be opening a Pandora's box by confessing to the crime.
Exactly.
You may be subjecting yourself to a toll evader's fine.
Right.
So they'll take the $2 from you, and then they'll come to your house and arrest you. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you really feel some compunction to pay up, if the toll is $2, the next time you get in line, and for the next 8 times you get in line, throw 9 quarters in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It will never penalize you. It'll never not send the gate up. It'll figure you're another stoop that just put in too much money.
Right.
The gate will go up, and within 2 months you will have satisfied your conscience. You'll have satisfied the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, will they come get me? Is there any way they can get my address for my license plate?
What bridge is it? We can find out.
It's called the Betsy Ross Bridge.
Oh,
it's 95 in Pennsylvania, where it recently burned down right by us. That's why I had to take that bridge.
Okay. Well, we are trying to reach the Pennsylvania Transportation Authority.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Was it Delaware?
Oh, no, Pennsylvania. Coming from New Jersey into Pennsylvania.
Into Pennsylvania. So the bridge is actually in Pennsylvania.
From New Jersey to Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. No, it's in New Jersey.
It's a bridge over between the two states.
Oh, so
the
both
Delaware
states
River.
Will be after you.
Oh, it's the federal government then. It's a federal job.
It's a federal offense.
So I don't know.
Okay, it seems to be run by the Delaware Port Authority.
Okay.
I don't know why.
The Delaware, because it's over the Delaware River, maybe.
We have him on the phone? You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
You're not
going to
believe
this.
Hold on a minute. We're not giving him your name.
Okay.
But evidently, Doug and Ken have just somehow gotten a hold of who? Dawn, somebody who's the bridge manager.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Gail.
Oh, this is cruel.
Oh, my goodness. I really was ready to pay the $2, and I didn't
Yeah, sure.
Change.
Gail, we chased you for 4 miles. Stop.
No, wait a minute. Dawn, who are you really, Dawn?
I'm the bridge manager at the Betsy Ross Bridge.
You really are?
I really am.
Oh, my God.
If we don't get this $2 fast, we might have to close this bridge up.
Oh, my God.
No, but for other people who might want to try what Gail did, do you take pictures?
We do surveillance of the toll plaza. Do we take specific pictures? I am not at liberty to tell
you. Not at liberty to tell us. But that's right. But the truth is that you could probably get through.
If that gate came down on Gail's car, Lord knows the destruction it would have caused.
Oh, no.
No, actually, the gates are made of a breakaway wood. We wouldn't want to damage anyone's car.
Mm-hmm.
I would not encourage anyone to try to do that. We do patrol our plaza with our own police force, and we do pursue toll evaders. And just for your information, the toll evasion fine is not $40, but more like $200.
Oh, Gail, you're going to the slammer.
Now, look, my gosh. I don't think Gail wants to get herself in trouble.
No.
So, no, and Gail probably doesn't want Dawn to know even her last name.
No, of course not. But look, how about this, Dawn? If Gail sends the money to us and we send it to you anonymously in the name of Gail, Gail Anonymous, then she'll be off the hook, right? And you won't know who she is and she will not incriminate herself. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good to me, but Gail is not on my good side to begin with for calling my bridge toll a little pricey.
No! I mean, that's a lot.
How long a bridge is it, Dawn? How long is this bridge?
New York bridges, $7 a shot.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
This bridge is how long is it, Dawn? I mean, it's, you know, 300.
Are there any trolls underneath the bridge?
It's a mile and three quarters over the river. But if you don't use it, Gail, how are you going to get back into Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Maybe she doesn't want it.
Why do you have to have a coins-only lane?
Well, we do have some to service patrons who have a commutation sticker on their window.
I don't think they're marked very well, Don, because I didn't see it until the last minute.
Kind of feisty for a lawbreaker, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, hey, Gail.
Yes.
Cool it up. I got to give me a name.
And by the way, Gail, there is no statute of limitations on this. We can find you.
Hey, Dawn, thanks a lot for letting us find you. I don't know how we found you, but it's good to know.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward for that $2 to arrive in the mail.
All right, you will get it. Don't worry.
Oh, definitely.
And if you don't get it, chase us for it, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay.
Make sure you send us the money.
Yeah, you don't think we're going to pay this $2, do you? And in fact, you might want to send in extra in case, you know, there's a penalty or anything.
An extra $200.
Yeah. Postage and handling and all that. It might be like $22.50.
And you might want to include a little something to make sure we don't divulge your last name.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
Baked goods are always good.
See you, Gail.
Hey, Gail, you're a good sport. You were a little feisty with the guy, though.
Well, he was being mean.
Well, I think $2 is actually pretty reasonable for a bridge. I mean, bridges are hard to build.
Yeah,
how do they build bridges? You have land on one side, land on the other side, and water in the middle.
Batman, you know the thing he shoots across? Zoom.
Oh, that's right. So I guess $2 isn't bad, but
it's not bad
because the alternative is to be in New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not forget that.
So.
There you go. So.
Okay.
Thanks for calling,
Gail. Well, thanks a lot.
And carry some quarters, will you?
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
That was good.
How did you do that, Ken?
How did you find him? Very good. That's very good. Boy, we have a crack staff here.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I will admit that I was quite impressed by that, the alacrity with which that whole process ensued. I mean, we got the call from Gail right away. Ken must have evaded the toll on this bridge once himself. He knew exactly
and
where
knew
it was.
Dawn Piccolo by his first name right away.
All right, look, it's time. It's pretty obvious. It's time for us to take a little break and give our friends at the stations a chance to chat with their listeners.
Yeah, I can hear their message now. Help! We've been tied up and we're being forced to air car talk. Please call the authorities.
Well, if that plea for help doesn't work, we'll be back in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Keep up.
And even though Charles Darwin wonders, how did these guys survive? Whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and how despite 30 years of experience doing this show, we never really seem to get the screening process right. Now, here's an example of a call that would have been a pretty normal car question if the caller hadn't decided to enlighten us about the extenuating circumstances. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Ann, and I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, I'm driving a 96 Dodge Caravan.
Okay.
What the deal is about 6 weeks ago, my husband had his vasectomy reversed down in Tampa, Florida. Okay? Uh-huh. And we had to drive back home.
You sure you called the right show?
This is Car Talk.
Are
you with us on this?
Okay, yeah. Well, go ahead. It's your nickel.
Okay. Was there a lot of pain associated with this?
Yes, there was.
Was he taking painkillers like Percocet or something?
Well, actually, he did pretty good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, tell him to take two aspirin and call us back in the morning. All right.
He's doing much better now. It's been 6 weeks, and he's all healed up. But.
Oh, good.
He's all better.
So you're driving back from Florida to Columbus.
Right. Well, the situation is that you have to lay down completely for 3 days after the reversal. So we took all the seats out of the van, and we put a twin-size mattress in the back, and he laid down on the way home.
Yeah.
Well, I was the only one that was driving, and I was speeding like a banshee.
Sure, because you couldn't stand the moaning and groaning. get me home.
Well, actually, it wasn't that bad. He was pretty knocked out at that time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got home, and after we got home...
How long a ride was it, by the way, Ann?
About 7.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so I drove it pretty hard.
Did you stop to pee along the way?
I did, yes.
Did he?
No.
Okay. Let's just check it.
No. Do we need to know that?
Do we need to know about a vasectomy? No.
Evidently, if you let Ann finish, you might find out more.
Okay. So you're driving at 85 miles an hour for 7.5 hours.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. And so since we've been home, every time I start the engine when it's cold, it basically makes that rah sound, but only when the engine is cold.
You mean as you're turning the key to the start position, it goes.
Yeah, and then
and then you let go of the key, or you don't. What do you do?
I do, and it starts right up. It doesn't sound like the thing is hitting the flywheel strange. It sounds like more like an air compression. That's what my husband said. I recorded it for you.
Oh, Ann, we love you. Because she knew we were going to tell her that she needed a starter.
Or a flywheel.
Or a flywheel, and she knows that's not the answer.
Right.
Or at least her husband thinks it's not.
Well,
let's play it.
Okay, I don't know, you might not be able to hear it very well, but here it goes. Did you hear it?
Do it again.
Okay, hold on. Did you hear it?
I love it.
He's right.
I know.
He's right what?
It's not the starter.
Oh, no. Yes, it is.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Play it again.
Wait a minute. Don't do it yet.
Oh.
If my brother listens carefully, he will notice that before the engine begins to turn is when the noise occurs.
Exactly.
And it's as the starter is beginning to...
Well, that's what I want to hear.
It's the solenoidal part of the starter that as the solenoid is engaging is making that noise. And then as soon as it does that, the starter begins to turn and cranks the engine over. Listen. Listen carefully.
All okay. right. Go ahead.
See?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Did you record this from inside the vehicle or under the hood?
No, under the hood.
Bless you.
Yeah,
boy,
no, I don't
if
think
only all
doubt.
Our callers were as good as her. Well, here's the good news, Ann.
Okay.
You had nothing to do with this.
Oh, good.
And the fact that you were driving like a wacko all the way back to Columbus did not in any way cause this problem.
Wonderful.
Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Great.
It is.
So, by the way, I can't ask.
No, you can't ask. No, it's none of your damn business.
What do you can ask?
I mean, we didn't have to know about all the details here. All she could have said was...
Right, you were running from the law.
I was driving and I drove for 7.5 hours at 85 miles an hour. If she wanted to bring her personal life into this...
That's right, well, I can answer
it. She did
she
it
deserves
too late
anything.
Now.
That's right.
Well, I can answer.
Did it work?
Oh, we don't know yet.
Oh.
It takes time. He had the...
Thank God.
He had the vasectomy. He had it for 12 and a half years.
Really?
Yeah, because he has 3 children from a previous marriage.
Well, I was going to ask that, right?
Yeah.
He probably figured that was enough, and you convinced him to reverse it.
Exactly.
Jeez, that's great. Well,
he's a great husband.
I hope it works.
I'm actually a nanny.
Really?
Yeah, so I love children. Love them.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, they're all right when they're not your own. When they're your own, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go home.
Well, good luck, Ann. Get your starter motor replaced before it falls out on the street.
It is a starter motor.
I believe starter motor.
I agree with my brother. There is no doubt about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We get them all. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
This is Dave. From Bemidji, Minnesota.
Say it again. Bemidji?
Dave from Bemidji, Minnesota.
Bemidji.
Yeah, how do you spell it?
B-M-I-D-J-I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bemidji.
And what state are we in?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Bemidji. That is great. Wow.
Of course. Where are you guys from?
We're from Bostony.
Bostony.
So what's up, Dave?
Okay, yeah, look here.
Yeah.
You ready for a story?
Sure.
Okay. What I did is I came from the great state of Washington.
Yeah.
And I met a girl in the great state of Minnesota.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, and she wanted to go see Alaska, right?
Yeah.
So I says, okay, we'll load up the car, and we got no troubles, and, you know, we happen to have the finances at the time. And we threw everything into an 85 Cavalier.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we drive across, and we get to Washington, and we jump on the ferry, and we go up and go up to Haines, Alaska, and we do Alaska and everything. She hated it, by the way. I says, why? She says, well, you know, it looks like northern Minnesota. Anyway.
Just a lot farther away.
Yeah. So anyway, we come back, you know, and we decide, well, hell, we'll drive through British Columbia and come down the Alcan Highway, the famous Alcan Highway.
Yep.
And we're coming down the road, and the car just overheats. You know, we got a lot of stuff in there now.
Yeah. All those treasures you bought up in Alaska.
Yeah,
and the
right.
dogs. Don't forget the dogs.
Seal skins and what have you.
All right. Yeah, all that contraband.
And all those phony Cuban cigars. All right. So you're on the Calcan Highway, and the thing's overheating.
Right. And I'm the man. You know, I said, no problem. It just overheated. We need some radiator fluid or whatever, you know. I get out, and I go, Jesus, I can't get in the trunk because we got 8,000 pounds of stuff in here.
Cuban cigars.
Yeah. Well, whatever, you know.
Whatever,
cigarettes are good, too, you know. But so I pull all this stuff out, you know, and I get back to this little teeny toolbox that I thought would suffice once we left Minnesota, which is a, how do you call it, a lure or fishing box.
Yeah.
You know. And I got a crescent wrench and three different kinds of ratchets that have no sockets.
And you don't have any vice grips?
Nope.
Oh,
what kind of a Minnesotan are you?
So anyway, so I go, no problem. You know, we'll go up underneath the hood. So we pop the hood and look in there, and sure enough, the car just doesn't go. You know, it starts up, but we get it going. I load everything, and it won't go but 4 or 5 miles an hour. So we pulled over to this, luckily we found a gas station there, and spent the night there. Or no, before we spent the night, the woman walked, or my girlfriend, yeah, walked into the house there and said, "Do you mind if we stop here? We're not here to rob you, you know." And she says, yeah, no problem. My husband will come out and look at it in the morning. All right. So we spend the night. Here comes this guy out, right? And he goes, pop the hood. So what he does is he takes, okay, we got an electric fan, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he takes the wire from the electric fan.
Runs it right to the battery.
It runs it right to the battery.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Now we're down the road, right? Okay. Then it overheats again. I'm going, geez. So I call my brother on Woodby Island, my brother Mike. You know, I say, hey, we're trying to get back down there. What's the trouble? And he says, what will it do? And I says, well, it just feels like it's clogged up. Feels like it's clogged up, you know, and it just won't do it. I put everything in it, high-test gas and everything. He says, take a piece of steel, if you can find a piece of steel, and punch a hole in the Cadillac converter and grind it around in there and get rid of all that junk. And he says, that'll blow out of there. Right? So.
What? Yeah.
Am I wrong?
This is good.
Wrong. Are you kidding me? You're right as rain, man.
No.
Yeah.
So I go back over there to the place where we're at, and I see an old campfire grill, and I grab one of them rails, you know,
yep,
that are laying there, and I punch it in there with the tire iron, grind it all around. Boy, here we go, me and the old lady, boy, 65 miles an hour. Boy, we're moving now. Anyway, I get down to Washington on Woodby Island, talk to my brother. Hey, do you like the trick? Yeah, I says, we're great. Okay, we get back to Minnesota, and this wire, you know, goes on and off, you know, and it doesn't work right. So I figure, what the hell? I'll throw a toggle switch on it. Well, uh-huh. I kept burning toggle switches off.
Well, what wire is this?
What, for the fan, you mean?
Yeah.
We're back to the fan.
Oh, you still got the fan Mickey Mouse to the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, I'll just run a wire from the battery up underneath the car. I drilled a hole up at beautiful car, you know. We got 350,000 miles on it, you know. So I says, well, I'll just put a toggle switch on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the problem is the car starts up and everything fine, and all of a sudden when you turn on the toggle switch, the car goes way down, like it's really lugging hard. Now, did I mess with the computer, or did he mess with the computer in Canada, or what?
No, not really. What you need to do, do you still have that iron bar?
You
need to do the
use it on the windshield.
Yeah, I got
the computer.
Right.
The Cadillac. Now, I suspect that because you've been running this electric fan continuously for like 45,000 miles.
Well, yeah, no. See, the toggle switch turns it off when you go in to get something to eat or something like
no,
that.
No, I understand that, but otherwise it's running all the time. And it has been running that same fan for 300,000 miles, off and on.
Yeah.
But that's the original one.
And it's fried.
And it may be that you're pulling so much current, that's why you burned up the switch. And that's why now when you turn the thing on, everything goes dim.
Yeah, because it's sucking so much current. And that fan should draw nothing. I would forget the toggle switch. Because either you're going to forget to turn it on, or you're going to forget to turn it off.
That's why we got the toggle switch.
Yeah, but you could actually go ahead.
It's warm.
But you could fix this the way it's supposed to be fixed. You could replace either the coolant temp sensor or the fan relay, whatever it is that's making the thing not work.
It may well be that the fan's been running 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I would think that you might have to go to the junkyard and get another used fan for $20. If you want to adhere to this philosophy.
Okay. So what you're saying is get another fan, and the RPMs won't go down. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, this fan's just drawing so much current that you're imposing a huge load on the charging system. And
it's going to burst into flame one of these days.
And you're going to burn out the alternator.
Don't laugh.
He's laughing.
He laughs. See?
It would not bother me at all.
Well, you've gotten your money's worth out of
you
it.
You certainly
well,
have.
Well, geez, don't I get a record for having a
we're gonna give you a record.
Cavalier for almost 400,000 yeah. miles. Oh.
And the fact that you were able to effect two repairs on this car with a ratchet, with no sockets,
and a piece of a barbecue grill.
And the Cuban cigars.
And the Cuban cigars. I mean, you deserve something. You deserve some kind of award, Dave.
All right.
Yeah. Any time during this trip when the car was malfunctioning, were you at all worried?
Yeah. Actually, I did get a zit on top of my head.
Hey, Dave, anytime that car makes it to Boston, you give me a call and we will have coffee.
Me too.
Are you buying?
I will buy.
We'll buy you a new fan, too.
And I'll take it down on Nissan Bombs. I'll get you a whole lifetime supply of fans. Thanks for calling,
lot,
Dave.
See ya. Bye.
Don't mean to bother you, but
bye,
thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Now, there is a one in a million guy. There is a one in a million guy. Woo-hoo!
He was a lot of fun. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his lackluster performance at the Walla Walla Curry Lentil Loaf Off, is John Bugsy Waller. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I break your face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our staff archivist is Bernadette File. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Audovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Shakespearean waiter is Coffee Anon. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The banker at the Car Talk poker games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. We're going to need bigger offices, man. The staff is expanding at a geometric rate.
Isabel Ringing.
Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Camus-quoting baristas in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
right.
Don't drive like my brother.
I won't. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, pass the trans fat whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.